call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app so you can listen to us on the go. I also want to thank all my listeners for listening to me each and every week. I hope you're taking these nuggets we're dropping and rolling with it to live a blessed life. Today I am so, so excited to have this guest on with me. We work together with, we created here in North Carolina the National Action Network with Reverend Al Shockton. So we were excited to do that for the state of North Carolina. It was a much-needed organization. So I have with me today Dr. Elton G. Powell. How are you, Dr. Powell?
Fine. Hope you are.
Yes, I am well. And Dr. Powell, he's an author. He's also the founder of Nehemiah Wall Development Incorporated and a major with the International Police Fire Chaplain First Responders Association. For over 28 years, he was an educator and counselor in the North Carolina public and charter schools. He also served as a correctional officer for the North Carolina Department of Criminal Justice. He's also been characterized by both professional excellence and high-quality work performance. He leads by example. Trust me, he does. And he motivates the most effective teams. He also possesses a coaching, mentoring, instructing, and leadership style that is second to none. So, Dr. Powell, we want to know, me and my listeners, what has been the lowest point in your life, and how did it propel you to where you are today?
Well, I mean, I guess the lowest point I've ever had in my life is the loss of my father in 2011. And a giant of a man, very silent, spoken person, but just a very, very godly man, man of honor, man of character, and a man that was an icon in his community by the way he led, by example. And when we lost him, suddenly he was caught up in the VA issues that was going on at the time, and it really actually left me, I guess, wondering where do we go from here? And, you know, having a full-time ministry at the time and was going through, you know, a kind of strong issue in my own personal life. I just felt like the guy had given up on us and had taken all that we knew, right? But it was during that time I remember some things that he had said to us as a family, and one of those things was that we have to make sure that we realize that in all that we do, our name was all that we had, and to remember that first things was first. So always make sure that we finish what we start, and remember that, you know, whatever we do, make sure that we do first things first. And the more I thought about it, it really made sense. And God blessed me, and I married the love of my life shortly thereafter. And it seemed like she was a motivator, and it was almost like I could hear him speaking to her on several occasions about things concerning, you know, my next steps in life, my next steps in ministry, and you know, without the woman of God that's in my life right now, Vicki Powell, like I said again, I don't know what I would do. She just have been a great motivator and has been my strength. In fact, she even actually sat down with me and said, you know, baby, at some point in time, you got to realize that dad is gone now, and what you got to do is make sure that you continue to make him happy. And so she said, what are some things that you feel like that you need to accomplish and achieve at this point in time? Those are the things you need to focus on. And the more she spoke with me about those things, the more she encouraged me, the more I began to see clearly some things that I need to accomplish and achieve. I was able to accomplish and get my doctoral degree shortly thereafter. In religion and philosophy studies, these books that are now beginning to come forth, come to fruition, is because of the fact that she encouraged them out of my heart and out of my head. And so I'm very thankful for her from being the support system that I needed in order to be able to move forward. And so I'll say to anyone, you know, we take our relationships and our spouse for granted sometimes. Technically, in this day and time, you know, there's not too many people that really actually believe in family or still living, you know, the way that we know that family is supposed to live. And I'm thankful that I'm striving each and every day, along with my wife, to make sure that our kids understand how important and how valuable true family is. I just thank God for her love and for her compassion to make sure that no matter what, that we are celebrated when we do great things, and I get constructive criticism when I'm not doing so well, or if I'm at a standstill. I'm encouraged, you know, you got to get going, you got to get it going, you got to get this done, you know. And so, like I said, again, it's great to have a wonderful motivator, you know, to support you in all that you do, especially when you have 100,000 things that you are doing. We do have an LLC called Virtuous Essence, and what we do is consult, counsel, and provide resources for families, for individuals, when it comes to jobs, when it comes to counseling, when it comes to personal needs or whatever. And we also do decorative design by way of Virtuous Essence. Virtuous Essence also is, I guess, the name behind the books and the publications that we're in the process of moving forward. And we're just looking forward to doing all God would have us to do. I'm really excited about ministry and the direction in which I really believe that God is calling us to apostolicship. And so I'm looking forward to that and to be able to teach and to educate and encourage church leadership, apostles and bishops. And so I'm excited about that, and you know, still standing for what's right. I'm still about the civil rights movement, and I'm trying to make sure that my kids understand that because of that, the life that they have, the things that they're able to do, it came off of someone's blood, sweat, tears, and their life, you know. And you know, we have to always be mindful of that as we move forward. So that's how I got where I'm at this point in time. So.
Well, that's good, because I just realized today is the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was signed today. So it was good that I got to have you, I guess, on my show today, because, you know, like I said, we were instrumental in establishing the National Action Network.
Yes.
In North Carolina with with Reverend Al Shockton. And
yes.
How have you handled this situation with the George Floyd situation?
Well, you know, it's a twofold thing for me, because having been involved in law enforcement and corrections, and especially an international police fire first responding chaplain, then having a son that's also a police officer, and, you know, reflecting back on, you know, what we were trained to do, what he's been trained to do, I thought it was senseless. I thought it was brutal. I do believe that the officers involved should pay for the crimes that they have committed. I think it was very senseless. I have not spoken out on it, this is the first time I made any comments on that or any other civil rights issues that's going on recently. because I mean, we laid foundations, and I was hoping that some of the younger people would stand up and start taking a more serious attitude towards it. And I just believe that we must continue to allow our voices to be heard concerning this type issue. This brutality of law enforcement will not go unnoticed in this country now. And I think that because of George Floyd, so many more people's eyes are opening. I thank God, and I embrace our white brothers and sisters who have joined forces with us to say no, and enough is enough. And but when we talk about this, Sister Linda, I also feel like that there's another part that needs to be addressed, because we realize that black lives do matter. And we realize that, you know, that these are some very critical, some very serious times. But although we say that black lives matter, it's unfortunate that the most times that we talk about that and the most time that we want attention concerning that is when it's an officer-involved shooting or something like that, or a black or white type situation. When is it going to be that we in America as black people will begin to say that black lives matter, that we start educating our own sons and daughters, and mainly our sons, first of all, to lay their guns down, to get out the gang, the gangs that's causing them to fight for territory that's not even theirs, that they have not worked and earned. When are we going to start loving one another and embracing one another, and whatever our differences are, that we are not hating on each other to the point where we would take someone's life, you know? When are we going to stop abusing our black females and calling them out of the names, the B words, and, you know, and things like that? Well, when we start recognizing that within our own society, in our own situation, then only then can we really actually stand up and truly say that black lives really do matter. Because if I'm degrading a black sister because I have the ability or the privilege to do so, then it says absolutely nothing. So who am I to get mad when someone else comes up and call or use the N-word in my presence, or some white person comes up and calls a black female a B because they're upset or frustrated? And, you know, we have got to get back again to first things first. And there was one time when being called a nigger was really actually degrading, and it hurt. But today we say, well, we don't mean it that way because we spell it different. That it really doesn't mean that. Oh, it means the same thing, you know, because it really actually stands for ignorance. And when we show our ignorance by doing that, then, like I said again, you know, it only, you know, allow the discourse to continue. And so, I mean, I really think that we need to do better in our relationships with one another. This needs to become a conversation. We need more of our professional and actors and actresses, professional people, to start having this dialogue and conversation in our communities. When we have our young black men to start respecting marriage, and they're not flirting with and trying to come on to married women, and married women start respecting their marriage and things like that. So, I mean, you know, so when we start looking at the good qualities that we can possess and move forward, then only then will black lives really matter.
I totally, totally agree with you. And actually, God had placed in my spirit within the last couple of days to I know one of my projects was to build a cultural arts center, and you know as well as I know, by the time a person is in third grade, they determine whether they're going to end up in prison. And, you know, that's just a very, very disturbing fact for me.
Yes.
And I'm trying to figure out what can we do to stop this.
Uh-huh.
You know, what can we do to stop this? So God basically dropped in my spirit to, you know, I think the African-American millionaires and billionaires, you know, I think they should come forth because they have the financial resources to, you know, maybe put some of these centers around and start getting these children's gifts, because we're gifted people. and start getting these children gifts, you know, even from kindergarten. I mean, children know that they're very creative, even in kindergarten, you know, and if they would just step up and, you know, just do something from that level, from kindergarten on, I think we can change the projectile of America. And, of course, you know, the thing is now we don't know our history. We don't know where we came from, and that is being projected as you know, when you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're going.
That's right. That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's so true.
So I'm glad that this is kind of projecting that, you know, some people are going to come up with. I know 365 Black Education is coming up with a curriculum that they're going to try to get in the school system with Black history, because I know when I was in school, they didn't teach me anything about Black history. But I went on myself to get my knowledge, because that's just the kind of person I am. But I feel that if we come together as a race and just help these kids, because they're the next generation, and they're going to be the ones that we leave here to guide. But like you said, with, you know, the gang banging and the, you know, abuse, I totally agree with you. We need to start with ourselves.
Yes, we really do. And, you know, and the amazing thing, if I can share just a little bit about the book, if you would.
Go ahead. What is the title of your book?
The book is entitled Why Should I Care? And it's just a simple self-assessment, self-reflection of, you know, a question that we all have asked ourselves, you know. And more so during this time of year when it starts talking about elections and stuff, people say, when my vote is not going to count, you know, so why should I vote? They're saying, why should I care, you know? And it's just a simple, pictorial, poetic book that simply starts talking about, you know, why should I care? And the interesting thing, I started writing it late last summer. And in the process, I was utilizing pictures that for each stanza that really actually speak to world issues and world views today. There's even some pictures about Black Lives Matters in there. It has blacks and whites, you know, connected together in like a chain together, you know, showing solidarity and, you know, cultural, you know, support and relationships. There's so many different things that has unraveled in 2020 that is depicted in a short pictorial book that was so amazing that one of the apostles that made a foreword in there, in the book, he was amazed and said that, you know, that had to be prophetic for some of the things that has taken place basically are described in the book. And so, you know, I'm excited about that because, like I said, again, it gives people an opportunity to reflect on exactly, you know, that one question, why do I care? Why should I care? And then there's a voice from heaven that speaks as to why should we care, you know? And so that's it's a very, very exciting short read, but it was something that I wanted to try to get out. Had no idea that it was going to fall when it fell and that all the things was going to be going on in the world when it fell. But yet I wanted to kind of put something out for the first time before I actually released one of my major works that I'm working on called The Difference Between Boaz and Hosea.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're looking at that because of the assessment. I've watched how Black females have said, you know, I'm waiting for my Boaz, you know, but but you never hear anybody say they're waiting for the Hosea, you know, and there was a difference between the two men, you know, and so like I said again, so I have a couple of contributors to that one. My wife is one of the contributors to that one, and so we're kind of looking forward to hoping spitting that out by the end of this year. So, we're excited about, you know, Why Should I Care? I hope that it does well. $6.99 on Amazon, as well as Apple Books, and hopefully we have the paper copy up and running and out by the end of the summer. So, again, we're looking forward to it. I'm excited about it and hoping that it would do real well in helping to encourage people to care more about themselves first and then about others.
I know, because even with, as you're saying, as we come upcoming on the voting in November, I know a lot of African Americans, like you say, why should I care? My vote is not going to matter. But I think, you know, we're registering a lot of people to vote, but I think they really should see because what it took to get that right.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? Because I know when I took my kids down to Atlanta, the DeVry Institute to go to school, I took them to the Martin Luther King Center there, and they had no clue, you know, what Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King, had to go through. So I think every black American should go to that center as well as the African American Museum in Washington, D.C., to see, because these kids do not realize the struggle that we had. I mean, people have died just so you have this right. So I think we need to, instead of registering all these people, you need to educate them on the voting process and what it took for us to get to that voting process.
And that's the dangerous part of this whole thing is that we have not been educated in school. This millennial generation has not been educated and schooled enough to know about how important it is and the reason why people take this time so serious. Because, I mean, you know, you can get out there and get angry or whatever your own just agenda is and break into places and loot and burn stuff and shoot innocent officers and stuff like that all you want to, but it never is going to click until you understand exactly what Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois and all those people were talking about down through the years as relates to, you know, our freedom and our economic status. And so when we decide that we start changing our mindsets and we start looking at our economic status and you know, and start trying to do something to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, then and only then will a difference ever be made anyway, you know. But we keep blaming people. My daddy was never there for me and my mom, this and that, you know. You know, that, I mean, a million people can say that, you know. And they'd be dead on it, you know. But the point is, when you start making a difference, when you start changing your mindset, you know, and trying to find ways to make life better for yourself, then only then can you feel good about the society in which you live and the area around you, and start helping making a difference in that way. But we got to change the mindset.
And that's definitely the key. That's definitely the key. You got to become the victor, not the victim.
That's right, you know. And
that's what we've laid on all these years. We've been the victim of this situation, and so we can't move past that to get to be the victor.
And as long as we can use that for a scapegoat and an alibi, then we'll continue to do the negative things in our community, you know. And, you know, I understand that, you know, there are people that are saying, you know, well, I can understand why the young blacks are upset and angry right now, and they should be. No, they shouldn't be, because the thing of it is that if it makes you go out and burn and tear down your own community and make the price of food and the price of clothes and stuff go up in your community because you're burning it down, then, I mean, what have you done, you know? we should have learned from that in the 60s when after Martin Luther King died, you know? And we should have learned from that, you know? And if we don't educate ourselves, then we're doomed to repeat those horrors, you know, in the futures. And that's the thing that we have to remember, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. I'm like, okay, you know, we're going back. We're not going forward because, like you said, this happened back in the 60s.
Exactly.
Okay, we was burning down stuff back then.
Yeah.
Didn't too much really change after that either. So they got to understand that, you know, you can't take mm-hmm. the anger mm-hmm. and, like you said, burn down your community mm-hmm. because they definitely ain't going to nobody else's community to try to get their resources.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not going to allow you to do that.
Yeah,
so,
right.
like you said, the key is changing. We have to change the mindset of our people, and we have to do it, like I said, starting in elementary, because what I've observed, I used to teach substitute teach as well. What I've observed is they get the self-esteem in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
They try to take the self-esteem in kindergarten, mm-hmm. 6 years old. So this is the starting point.
Yeah.
We've got to start with these kids. Well, with the parents, actually, because
mm-hmm.
you got all these single moms, and then you mm-hmm. got all these incarcerated fathers. So mm-hmm. this is what we must stop,
mm-hmm.
the generational curse.
Exactly. And, you know, we got to stop looking for youth. Using excuses to go to prison.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What that feel is a modern day slavery. I've said that so many times. It's just a modern day slavery on our part.
But see, when we know that, but yet still we allow ourselves to fall into the trap of being trapped off. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And get your education so that you can get a good paying job, so you're not looking through your shoulder. Because what person in their right mind is not going to
Hello? 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 Okay, look like I lost Dr. Powell. Hello? Hello?
Miss Monroe?
Oh, okay, here you are.
I don't know what happened.
I thought we had lost you.
It seemed like the phone went, your voice left me or something. When we start making excuses, knowing that, you know, we're going to fall into those traps, when we start trying to focus on, getting our education, you know, I know our kids can learn a rap song less than 10 minutes. I know that our kids can learn how to beat a PlayStation game in a couple of hours. And
mm-hmm.
even the ones that are really actually known as exceptional children who are not performing well in school, and yet and still they can perform well on beating a game, then it says to me that that child with a little bit more time, a little bit more nurturing, a little bit more support, that child can be an A-B student, and that child can turn his life around, and that child can start dreaming about having real serious goals in life, you know. And when we do that, then, you know, we're sort of making a difference in changing how our kids get trapped off so easily with the drugs and crazy stuff that goes on with the gangs and stuff.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. And this, you know, these kids just don't get it. The fast, quick money. And I have to tell them, look, yeah, you with the drug situation, you got two choices, death or prison.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna with the federal penitentiary, you're pulling 25 to life. So, you know, it's about the choices that you're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the ability. You may not have the money that the drugs bring to you, that instant money. But,
mm-hmm.
of course, when you get busted, where is the money going to go? Is going to the cop would put it out there anyway. So you still don't have nothing. Now you got a felony conviction that you're really going to have a problem when you come out of prison to even get a job if you don't take that time to, like you said, get education in there where you can come out and be your own entrepreneur.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, we got to find new ways, new roads to trot in order to make sure that we're successful in all that we do. And I do know this, and I know, you know, even most of your viewers or some of your viewers may not, you know, be total Christians or, you know, believers or might be young in their faith, but I'll tell anybody, you know, until we actually start working on having a more intimate relationship with God in Christ Jesus, and when we start building on those foundations and those principles, then and only then will doors will begin to open up in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I mean, he will bless us. He will open up doors that no man can close, and he will make ways that out of no way. You know, that will be able to make a difference in your life. And just because of the fact you might be 35, 40, 50 years old and say, well, you know, my life pretty much is passing by. So, you know, no, it's never too late. Every day that God gives you the breath of life, you have an opportunity to make a difference in your life, and you have an opportunity to impact somebody else's life. So, you know, until we start, you know, looking at those things and start trying to get more Christ-centered, then knowing then, like I said again, where it begins to make a difference. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven.
Well, I definitely agree with that, because I truly believe Jesus is coming soon. People better get their house in order.
Yes.
With everything that's going on in this world, he's giving you the warnings.
It's a wake up call, and it's just a time for us to really take it serious, you know, take life serious. And if this pandemic has not gotten our attention, then I don't know exactly what it's going to take. So.
Yeah, that's what I say too.
Yeah. I mean, where else do you know millions of people dead within 90 days? I mean, that's unheard of in our lifetime, you know?
Mm-hmm.
and we're still here, you know? Look at God, you know? So, I mean, not to say that they deserve to be dead. I mean, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying, I mean, it's just it's one of those signs, I do believe, of time that we must take more heed to, you know? It's one of those pestilence that he talked about, you know? That has occurred, and it should be a wake up call to every man. And we don't have eternity here. And no. I tell my young people all the time, you know, we have more life. I have less life ahead of me, you know, than I did before. But by the same token, when you stop and look at it, younger people are dying at, I mean, high alarming rates now, and I mean, we it's something to take a look at, you know. So we have to continue to glorify God and begin to make sure that we share Him with everyone we know until those that don't believe get it, you know.
That's so true. I was talking to one of my passengers the other day, and he was like, Linda, well, when I see the locusts coming, that's when I know Jesus is on his way back. I said, well, I don't know if you don't look at the news, but the locust is here, son. So you better get saved. You better get saved and get your house in order today, okay?
Yeah. I mean, I knew that back in March before school was out. CNN, they talked about locusts in it was some area where the locusts was just tearing. And then, I mean, when I said they were eating up crops, I mean they were seriously eating up crops, you know. So, you know, it's just a sign of the time.
Yes.
It's a sign of the time. So, man, you don't have to tell me twice.
You got that right. Well, listen, Dr. Powell, it has been an honor having you on my show today. So can you drop about 3 nuggets to my listeners to let them know how they can live a better life?
Yes. Get up every day, first thing in the morning, and remind yourself that this is the day that the Lord has made and that you should rejoice and be glad in it. Also, look at yourself in the mirror and say that I am fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. And always share love and a kind word to somebody. If you do those three things, your life will begin to change.
Okay, and tell my listeners how they can find you on social media.
Yes, you can go to Elton Powell at Facebook, and I'm there. And I don't even know what my Twitter is. I got to learn it quick. But Facebook is the biggest place you'll find me in Messenger. I will give my email, which is D-R-E-G Powell. That's Dr. D-R-E-G Powell at gmail.com.
All right. Like I said, it's been an honor, and good luck on your book as well. Remember that. What's the name of it again, Dr. Powell?
Why Should I Care?
Why Should I Care? Amazon. Go ahead and get that copy. I know it's going to be a blessing for you. Also, don't forget to go to my website, LindaMonroe.com, get my book, Overcoming All Odds, The Life I Should Not Have Lived. And I am broadcasting from Bashane Radio, iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, live from New York City. This is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to LindaMonroe.com. And don't forget to go to Google Play and download the Bashane Radio app so you can hear our podcast on the go. Again, I want to thank all my listeners for listening to my broadcast each and every week. I hope you take these nuggets and run with it and live the best life that you can live. Until next week. Be blessed, and thanks again, Dr. Powell. I really enjoyed this interview.
Bless you. Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves, and they can't do nothing about it. Bashane Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.